Good evening, everyone. Welcome to Oh, You Didn't Know Radio, part of the Pro Wrestling Powerhouse Network, live on Blog Talk Radio. I am tonight's host, JCD, and we got a lot to get into tonight. We've got some Hall of Fame news. Besides the news that broke today, we got one other thing to look at with the Hall of Fame. We've got some injury news, some signing news, some potential SummerSlam and WrestleMania 30 news, some TNA news not related to Austin Aries, some ROH news not related to Jay Briscoe, as well as an Extreme Rules preview. And joining me right now, Toph, you there?
Yeah, hey, JCD, what's going on, man?
What's up, man? How's it going tonight?
It's going great.
Okay, good. Toph is joining me tonight. A little change in the format going forward on All You Didn't Know Radio. So, Toph, how's it going?
It's just going good. Just came in, had a busy day, just working and stuff.
Okay.
Other than that, no complaints.
Good, good, good. And Toph, myself, Jay, and Will all had a great show last night where we discussed two of the main controversial topics of the week in the Jay Briscoe and Austin Aries incident. Unfortunately, I got cut off last night, so I wasn't able to finish off the show. But needless to say, you can check out the show on iTunes, Stitcher Radio, as well as blogtalkradio.com. With that said, Toph, you ready to go?
Yeah, I'm ready. Let's go.
Okay. The first thing I wanted to jump into was some Hall of Fame news that came out today. And two names in particular being thrown in. As we know, Paul Bearer is going in next year. That's been confirmed, and it's been a little bit confirmed for a while. The couple of names that were thrown around today was Undertaker and Jake the Snake. And while Jake the Snake is definitely well-deserved and it's about time, and big thanks to DDP and that yoga program for getting Jake's life in gear, is it time yet, if Taker's not going to end his in-ring career, for him to go into the Hall and break the whole mystique of that character?
From what I understand, because I watch a lot of DDP yoga and stuff like that, DDP yoga is really cool. Jake the Snake Roberts, he said earlier that he was in such great condition that he actually felt comfortable enough for one more run, something about making a cameo at the Royal Rumble. And that would be really cool if he came back. As far as Taker goes, from what I understand, he still has some years left in him. I think people are just assuming that, you know, WrestleMania 30, you know, 30 years would be a great place for him to retire. But he looks in great shape. And he still has 3 to 4 years left in him. And it's just not the time for him to go in yet. So I'm fine with Jake the Snake Roberts going in. Let Paul Bearer go in. But I still agree. I still would be okay with Taker breaking the whole mystique and, you know, inducting Paul Bearer in, unless they want to have Kane do it or maybe both of them do it.
Yeah, I'm okay with that. In fact, I think that's what should happen. I think if there's anyone that Taker would break the mystique of the character for, it would be Bearer. That's definitely, if they do a joint one with him and Kane, or, you know, however they want to do it. As far as Jake goes, I saw the interview that Jake did. I think it was posted today, where, depending on where you're reading it, they're either saying he wants to be in the Rumble or he's in the Rumble. I think it's more of a case of he wants to be in the Rumble. It's only May. I'm sure they have no idea what they're doing for SummerSlam, much less the Royal Rumble. But a Jake appearance would be neat. And, you know, thanks again to DDP. I've heard nothing but good things about it. I haven't done the program. But, you know, he looks in phenomenal, phenomenal shape.
Mm-hmm.
The other name I wanted to get into with the Hall of Fame, and it hasn't been out there lately, but it was some news potentially about it right around WrestleMania, is Owen Hart, especially with the lawsuit settled with Martha, and how that probably means we're looking at one more year of Randy Savage. And for everyone who is going to throw their hands up in the air and say, why not Savage this year, forget the Lanny Poffo aspect of it. You're never going to have a Hall of Fame, and let me know what you think, Toph, if you agree with me on this, where you have three deceased major inductees.
I'm still waiting for Rick Rude. That's who I want in the Hall of Fame. He's one of the best heels of all time. So if they put Rick Rude in the Hall of Fame, that's when I really start taking it more seriously. But I don't really know how to feel about Owen Hart. I hope fans care. I don't mean that in a mean way. It's been so many years since, you know, the Owen tragedy. They never talk about him anymore for obvious reasons. You know, it's just been a whole generation gap. But, you know, they have enough video and promo, and Brett's still here with us, thank God willing. So, you know, maybe they can do some stuff to remind the fans of who Owen was. And, you know, I just hope it's a good turnout, you know. But if they put Owen in, that'd be great. You know, that'll finally put some closure to those fans that have wanted Owen in there for a long time. Of course, I hope fans realize that it wasn't really WWE's fault. It was really more of his wife, but they recently settled that, you know, lawsuit thing.
Right, of course, and also the same thing with everyone who's got their, you know, who throws their hands up with Savage every year. You know, there is some dealing with Lanny Poffo that's still going to have to be addressed, and, you know, what were Randy's wishes, what does he claim Randy's wishes were. So these two are definitely not cases where, you know, they don't want to put them in. It's just there's some extenuating circumstances that they're not. But with Owen, it looks like that hurdle is cleared. Hopefully, maybe next year they can sit down with Lanny and work something out. And I'm with you, Toph. Rick Rude is long overdue. I understand the shenanigans he pulled, you know, that night in November of 97. But there's a lot more bridges that have been rebuilt than, you know, than Rick Rude. And, you know, if anyone deserves a shot to be in, it's definitely Rude. Rude was phenomenal in any role you put him in. And it's a shame he never got a big run with the WWE title. His feuds with Warrior and the work in WCW, it's just so underrated. It's a shame his career got cut short.
I just love how the fans just hated him. You know, he had the same type of heat that Vicky had a few years ago. Like, he couldn't, when he got his promos, you couldn't even hear what he was saying. You know how much they were booing. He was that good. When he did that Rude Awakening, people literally thought that he was breaking people's neck. I mean, he was so great at getting heat, man. Just a heat magnet. If he was in today's product, man, he could just do so many things.
Oh yeah, and he was such a rare guy in the sense that there was there would never, ever be any scenario where you could turn him face. There's nothing he can do. There's nothing that character can do that would get people to cheer him. He was just so, when he came out with Jake the Snake's wife's face on his pants, or, you know, it was just stuff. It was awesome. He was really just ahead of his time, and, you know, it's a shame what happened in 94, that freak accident with Sting, and, you know, he was words, and you're right, today he would work today. He's one of those guys that no matter what generation you put him in, whether it was the late 80s, the new generation, the attitude, even now, he would work hands down. That there's no doubt in my mind that he wouldn't work, you know, some way or another.
Yeah, I agree.
You know, and the fact that he was with Heenan was just phenomenal. So, all right. Moving on, we've got some news on TNA, and it's not Austin Aries related. They held their press conference today in Las Vegas. They're going to be doing two tapings on the 26th of June. One of them is going to be a 4th of July themed show, and one of them is just going to be a regular Thursday carryover.
They're going to be in Vegas?
Yeah.
Oh, sweet. One of their best impacts was when they were in Vegas. It was a long time ago, though.
Are you talking about the one in, like, the Red Rock Casino?
Yeah. That was back when Christian was there, though, so it was a while ago.
Yeah, it was like 2006, 2007. It was, like, I think the first and only time at the time that they went live. And it was in, like, the Red Rock Casino or something in the middle of a bar.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
That's great,
you're talking about.
That's great. I'm looking forward to that impact, and that'd be good.
None of those shows are going to be live, though. Taped. It's a Saturday night. They're going to tape both shows on that Saturday, I guess, because they said they didn't want to interfere with the July 4th weekend. I guess July 4th maybe falls on a Thursday this year. They're going to tape the 4th and the 11th that week. So, you know, they were in Vegas today. Interesting enough, Kenny King was at the press conference. It was Hogan, Dixie Carter, and Kenny King. King was in Vegas.
Probably because he's a former Vegas dancer.
Is he really?
Yeah, he is. He's a former dancer. That's why I like his Didn't you know, like, they just recently changed his theme. Like, didn't you realize, like, his first theme is, like, something he used to, like, a male dancer? Well, it's kind of weird to talk about. But, yeah, he's a male dancer. Just look up his profile. You know, people do whatever they got to make money, so.
Okay. All right, and current X Division champ, so hopefully they feature him pretty predominantly. We have the Impact tomorrow night with no spoilers, but the main thing that's being advertised is the Sting Bully Ray contract signing. It's something that slipped through the cracks, and I don't know if you caught this or not. Starting May 30th, Impact is going at 9 p.m. on Spike, and they're basically changing the layout of the way the shows are going to be done to the point where they're going to tape from 8 to 10 and then tape the other show after that. I've said this to Jay and Will when they first announced that they were going live, but is this, I hope this is not the case, especially going into summer rerun season on TV. I don't know why they would do this, but at what point do you have to be afraid that TNA is maybe waving the right flag already on the live impacts? Is the 9 o'clock thing anything to be scared of, or...
From what I understand, it's got nothing to do with their ratings or TNA. The 8 o'clock thing was all about Bellator, from what I understand. They were doing it to make the Bellator ratings. They were trying to – they had some type of deal together, and it wasn't working out for Bellator. So that's why they changed the times. That's what I get. I don't watch Bellator, but that's just from what I understand. The whole thing was about Bellator. They had a negotiation deal because, you know, a lot of times during the first hour, they would plug Bellator. And a lot of times, you know, depending on where you live, there's different commercials, of course. And there were a lot of, in my area, there's a lot of Bellator commercials. So it was really more about Bellator, and it wasn't working out for Bellator. And that's the reason why they're going back to 9. So,
okay.
I mean.
Is Bellator switching slots, or
no
idea what's happening with the Bellator show?
No idea. I gotta find out as soon as possible.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Because I know they're gonna tape from 8. They're gonna start taping at 8, and then air on the delay at 9. So I guess that gives Chrissy Hemme any opportunities to fix any mistakes she may have.
Yeah, but I guess as far as the whole rating thing goes, you know, I don't follow sports or nothing, but I understand there's a lot of people out there that do watch sports, and, you know, they did have stiff competition because, you know, they usually have, like, NBA playoff games and stuff like that. And, you know, I just hope that they stay the course, because one thing that annoys me about Dixie Carter is, you know, at the end of the day, you got to remember, Rome was not built in a day. It was a struggle. And it seems like when she's experimenting with something new for TNA, like at the first sign of trouble, she pulls out. It's like, you know, if the fruit is not worth the squeeze, then, you know, don't pick the fruit. You know, sometimes you got to endure and keep going. So hopefully this doesn't, you know. Yeah, whatever they do, as long as they don't go back to the impact zone, they'll be fine. Because being outside of the impact zone has just made the shows 10 times better. It's really great for the visual.
I agree with you 100% on that. I'm in Brooklyn, New York, and there's a bunch of – I mean, you don't have to go to Madison Square Garden, but if they can get into Nassau Coliseum, you know, maybe they're not ready for the Barclays yet, but the Hammerstein Ballroom. They've drawn well. When they did some smaller – like the Westbury Music Fair – place, when they've run some of those smaller places in New York, they've done well.
I would love to see a TNA show at the Hammerstein Ballroom. You know, I would love to see those hardcore fans react to the product, you know.
Yeah, and sometimes you got to get out, you know, of your comfort zone to find out what really works. One of the things, and I have a buddy that I discussed this with, and we agreed wholeheartedly, there's no way the same 4 or 5 guys who get online at 11 a.m., every time you tape an impact, you know, should be dictating to you what your product is, what's working and what's not. You know, so it's good that they're out of the impact zone. You're 100% right. The crowds are a lot better. The production value just looks so much more better. You know, to actually see them in actual arenas. They have an actual set. It looks good. And you're right about Dixie. Sometimes she's not willing to see things out, and it's hurt the company at times. So, you know, hopefully they stick with it and they go from there. I wanted to ask you about the Sting Bully Ray thing. And it's been brought up that, like, the last 3 or 4 Slammiversaries, Sting has been in the world title main event.
Yeah,
and the Matt Morgan and the Matt Morgan situation. And to me, this is obvious going to be Bully's first major pay-per-view title defense. I don't look at it as Sting took the slot from Morgan. I look at it as Bully Ray's got to be booked to look strong, and get put over, so why not have Sting do it? I understand the whole mindset that the, you know, the way the Morgan Sting match ended, maybe that made Morgan look bad. But, you know, I want to pick your mind. Where do you stand with the whole Sting world title situation and as well as Matt Morgan?
Sting's like the anti-Undertaker for Slammiversary. He's always in the main event. It's just he doesn't win. You know, that's what he is. He's the anti-Taker. He's in the main event every year. He doesn't win. And you know, every year he does a job and he puts over whoever the top heel is. You know, it's like the complete opposite of what Taker does. And I guarantee you he'll be in the main event next year, putting over whoever the top heel is, TNA. You know, that next year. Hopefully it'll be Aries or somebody different. So that's all it is. As far as Morgan goes, you know, Morgan's someone that I've been off and on for a while now. I just, Morgan's missing something. Every single thing they do of him is the same. You know, he's had the same character really since the Main Event Mafia days. He's this bitter, disgruntled giant that feels like creative is dropping the ball and he wants to get an opportunity. He gets the opportunity, he loses, he gets put in a tag team, but his tag team partner ends up getting more over than he is, and then he either goes heel or the tag team is just dropped silently. Then he disappears from TV for like 4 to 5 months, and then he just comes back, and then the whole story is just looped. And it's basically just been on loop for like the past 5 years. So for Morgan, like at this point for me, it's like put up or shut up. Either win the title or just leave. You know, from what I understand, he was supposed to go to WWE, and I don't even care about Morgan like that. But I think just how he looks, and the size of him, I think he'd do well in WWE. There's two things I will give Morgan. He is TNA's legitimate giant. He is their biggest guy. TV does not do him justice. I have seen him in a house show, and he's big. Like, he's not like as big as the Big Show, but he's very big. He's very big. TV does not do him justice. And the second thing I will give him is I do like his promos. When he cuts his promos, he convinces me. When he says he wants to be world champion, when he says he's passionate, you know, I'm convinced. When I see guys, and when I say this, I mean this with respect, when I see guys like Joe and Hardy and Angle, they seem to be a little bit like they're kind of riding the waves, like they're kind of complacent. You know, they've already been to the top. When I see Morgan cut a promo, I hear that passion. So I do take him seriously, but it's like they've booked them so strangely for these past 5 years. It's like, I don't care anymore. But, you know, I'm sure Morgan will eventually get some title shot, probably when AJ wins. This just isn't Morgan's time right now. So I'm okay with Sting Bully.
Yeah, so was I. Like I said, I mean Bully's got to be booked to look strong, and Sting's, you know, a big enough name to do it and not have it really hurt him. Now, you mentioned something that I wanted to get into, and you mentioned when AJ Styles wins the title. So where do you see AJ finally beating Bully? Do you have him redeeming himself and at Bound for Glory, or
Here's the thing that's confusing. We all know because of the match he had last year with James Storm and Bobby Roode, when he lost, he was not able to get a title shot until Bound for Glory of 2013. But according to what we saw on Impact last week, they're bringing back the Bound for Glory series. So does this mean AJ is going to be part of the Bound for Glory series and he has to win it to get a title shot? Or does this mean, like, because Hogan said he's not getting a title shot until Bound for Glory. So does this mean, like, AJ's automatically going to be getting a title shot, and then the person that wins the Bound for Glory series can be added, making it a triple threat? Like, I don't know what they're going to do, because it just seems kind of weird on what direction. If they really want AJ to go the Sting route, then he doesn't need to be part of the series, because Sting wasn't there. Because when he showed up, you know, the fans went crazy and stuff. You have to, when Sting showed up in WCW, it made him feel special. When AJ shows up in TNA, you know, it does feel special, because we hardly see him wrestle. Like when he wrestled James Storm, that was like the first match he's wrestled in like, what, like 4 or 5 months or something? It's been a while.
Easily, probably, yeah.
Yeah, so I don't know what they're going to do, because, you know, they're going to be using the Bound for Glory series, but they said that AJ is not getting a title shot till Bound for Glory, so I don't know what kind of deal they're going to go. We might get like a WrestleMania 22 kind of deal, or, you know, we might end up getting a triple threat match. That's what I think. So, you know, we'll have to see.
From what I remember of it, I think he was ineligible to get a title shot until the earliest Bound for Glory. What if you could always do this? You could always have whoever's going to win the series, go to Bound for Glory and lose to Bully, And then, which would give Bully like, see, you know what, all your guys beat each other up, and I, you know, I beat the guy who, whatever, and maybe that's when you bring, have Hogan be like, all right, you know what, you're right, you beat everybody, but you haven't beat him.
Wow, and so AJ has become so phenomenal, he's transformed into a Money in the Bank? Okay, that works.
Well, no, not even like a Money in the Bank, just, you know what, the restriction is lifted, now... I can give him a shot at you.
Okay, that makes sense. Well, whatever they do with AJ, the first thing they got to do is give him a new theme. I love his theme, but if he's going to have this new dark character, he needs a new theme. Some new in-ring gear as well, too. Need to work on that. So I trust TNA.
Yeah. Because
they actually do have good theme music sometimes, and I think fans just kind of, you know, just dismiss TNA's music. And their music is cool, so, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, no. I can definitely see them fitting the persona, you know. And you know what you could always say with this right now is that, oh, well, you know what, we're still using his old music because he won't even talk to us about what type of new music he likes.
He's not talking to anybody at TNA, in management.
So it kind of plays that angle that he's disgruntled with everybody.
Mm-hmm.
So, okay, so you're okay with AJ. There's no scenario where you see Hogan. Do you see Hogan Bully in any scenario happening at all?
He can barely walk. I just don't see it. I just think that Hogan just made a little joke, and fans just took it too seriously. It's not, you know, Triple H makes similar jokes as too, but no one takes him seriously. It's just a joke. It's just Hogan just being Hogan. The dude can barely walk. You know how many I take it seriously because my mom, she just, this is getting off topic, my mom, she just recently had two knee replacements, and she's just now recovering. And when she had her knee replacements, you know, what fans don't understand is when you get knee replacements and back replacements and stuff, you have to go through rehabilitation, and you have to go through the basic process of learning how to do basic stuff that we do every day. And you take for granted stuff like walking, using the restroom, getting in bed, getting a car, taking a shower. Hogan has had several back replacements. He can barely walk. Have you noticed that whenever he actually does do some type of action spot, he doesn't take any bumps because he can't take a bump because he'll break his back. He can't even work a match. It's ridiculous. Hogan's not doing anything. He's not doing anything. It's just fans hating on Hogan. Fans just want to look at, they just want to hate. You know, it's just like people look at Triple H and they hate on him just because he's married to Stephanie and all that other good stuff. Fans are just hating on Hogan because he's eating up TV time. You know, the truth of the matter is, I don't like Hogan eating up TV time, but he's a big international draw for TNA. That's just a matter of the fact.
Oh, yeah.
That's just the truth, you know. TNA has been able to get several outlets. They've been able to book several shows in places they never would have been able to just because Hogan's on their poster. And he's there. He's helping the company. He is not working a match with Bully. And if he is working a match with Bully, it's going to be heavily improvised with a lot of spots, run-ins, and weapons, you know. And he is not winning a world title. This dude can barely walk. He can't even take a spot. It offends me to see people just joking Hogan. Because I don't even like Hogan like that. But as someone that watched my mom go through knee replacements, you know, if my mom went through all that just for two knee replacements, I can only imagine what Hogan's going through with, like, up to 5 to 6 back replacements. That dude is not winning a world title. He can barely walk. Leave him alone.
No. Yeah, and I think the problem people have with Hogan is I was a huge Hogan guy growing up. I mean, I was like 6 years old the first time I saw Hogan, and I was hooked. But I think the problem with Hogan that some people have with him is when he opens his mouth with some of this looniness that has come out of his mouth in the past, you know, like how he was supposed to main event WrestleMania 25 against John Cena, and, you know, how he was going to, you know, battle the Great Khali at WrestleMania 23, it makes you wonder, like, is he just saying something for the sake of saying it,
or
in his mind... You know, does he mean it? And the other thing, which isn't Hogan's fault, is Dixie is such a mark and thinks this is still 1992 Hogan that Dixie may turn around and be like, yeah, this is a great idea. Let's do it.
Yeah.
You know, so, you know, I think it's a few more things other than just Hogan, you know, people like, oh, no, Hogan's going to be TNA champ. I think it's a few other things like, you know, Dixie may actually...
The one bad thing I will give Hogan is I do know that Hogan and AJ, they do have heat. I hope that they've put it aside, but they do have heat. So if you guys didn't know, they they do have heat. How much the heat has evolved or toned down now, I have no idea. So.
Right. Right, yeah, we'll see how it plays out. I mean, you know, TNA does do a good job, too, of kind of incorporating some realness into their storyline. So maybe, who knows, maybe
yeah.
some of that, when the courting of AJ, which seems to be supposed to be every week he's got to make a decision, maybe they'll play some of that into it, you know.
Talking about the realness of TNA, one of my favorite angles was when Kurt Angle was stalking Sting's son.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and he called Sting
yeah.
Steve. That was hilarious.
Yep. Well, the ultimate proof that TNA will take anything had to be Kurt Angle, Jeff Jarrett, Karen Angle.
Yeah, that was basically Lita, Matt, and Edge. The only difference was Jeff, he, you know, has a higher stake in the company. That was very uncomfortable. And
Karen and Kurt were married.
Yeah. I have a love-hate relationship for Jarrett. I am a big fan of his. I do think that he's very underrated as a heel. I lost a lot of respect for Jarrett, obviously, for what he did. But where I gain respect for him, the one thing that I will give Jarrett that I do not give Triple H is Jarrett has realized and he has recognized that his time is over and he's removed himself from TV and he has absolutely no interest coming back. Neither does Bischoff, neither does Karen. They're just fine. You know, Jarrett's doing his thing in AAA, and he brought over TNA in India with the whole ring cucking thing. Jarrett has realized that his time is up, and that's something that Triple H just refuses to admit. And he just continues eating up pay-per-view time that could go to younger guys. But that's another story for another day. So that's why, at the end of the day, I respect Jarrett more than Triple H. So, yeah.
Yeah, and if the sad part is, if Jarrett probably rolled back on Impact next week, he would probably get a monster reaction.
He would.
You know, in all fairness to Jarrett, you know, I thought he was, you know,
he hasn't been on TV since 2011. So yeah,
right. It's one of the things Vince Russo in WCW had the right idea about that. This is the guy you got to build around, and you got to give him, you know, a lot of a big run. And you know, Jarrett proved it that he could take that ball and run with it. And even some of his TNA title runs, you know, I thought one of the best Jarrett stories that goes unlooked, only because it was probably never finished, was when he won the title from Raven out of nowhere in 2005, and they had Jackie Haas involved, and AMW turned heel, and Gail Kim debuted. I thought up until the point where Jackie Haas got pregnant and had to basically come off TV, I thought that was one of the best things they had going on, because it was like, what was Jackie going to reveal on Jarrett? And, you know, how did Jarrett all of a sudden get a out-of-nowhere title match with Raven in Canada, no less? And I think even Team Canada was involved. Like, it was some good work up until she got pregnant and had to come off TV.
Yeah, Jarrett's work is great. My favorite work of Jarrett was one of his final works in TNA was his MMA parody gimmick where he was making fun of MMA, and they were fans.
Yep.
They were legitimate fans. Like, these fans were not plants. They were fans that were so pissed off, and they tried to jump over the rail because I attended one of those shows. It was so great. And even though it flopped for Crimson because Jarrett was getting so much heat, it got to the point where anyone that made him shut up was super over, and so they had Crimson squash him. And you know, even though they dropped the ball of Crimson when he beat him, Crimson was like more over than freaking Goldberg in like one night. So that was a great parody gimmick. You know, I love Jarrett. He's a great heel.
Yep.
I understand psychology, and I'll choose him over Triple H any day.
Yeah, the Jeff Jarrett MMA fighter stuff was submission. Jeff Jarrett submission machine. Yeah, that was good too. I totally forgot about that. So we'll move on from Jeff Jarrett and his UFC character, as good as it was. a couple of little interesting tidbits. Looks like Sami Callihan is about to sign his WWE deal, as he's been pulled from his Japan tour in June. You're good on the independents, a little tough, right? What do you think Callihan could bring to the table?
I'm actually not familiar with his work, but I've heard of him.
Okay. Yeah, he's got a little bit of a different look He's kind of got this little, like, goth look. I don't know what they're going to do with his character, though, and persona, but Ringworm...
You're going to NXT, right?
Yeah, all the guys, which brings me to the next point. It looks like, as far as medical testing goes, we've got Sammy Del Sol, Sean Ryder, and it looks like Mike Bennett all in the medical process. So,
okay,
yeah, and all those
Bennett
guys are
going
to go to NXT, and, you know, now with the facility open... You know, that's what they pretty much told these guys back in February, is that you'll hear from us after WrestleMania. Once we get the facility going, if we're interested, you know, we'll reach out to you. And these are four main guys. Sammy Del Sol has a chance to be the Mexican Latino star that they've been looking for. He's a little smaller, but he's got that luchador style. He's from Mexico, and he might be what Rey has stopped being, what Sin Cara can't be, and what Del Rio has failed to be as far as the international Mexican superstar. So we'll see what happens.
I'm a big fan of Conan, and Conan has a cool podcast I listen to, and Conan says where they dropped the ball with us. Well, WWE didn't drop the ball. He said that Sin Cara himself dropped the ball. He said that Conan said that Sin Cara should have gone to SCW, where he should have been deprogrammed, you know, to work that WWE style. I know deprogrammed sounds like a negative term, but, you know, how you wrestle in WWE and how you wrestle, you know, in the indie scene is two different styles, and Sin Cara was not deprogrammed. What actually hurt Sin Cara the most was the roster doesn't really support Sin Cara. You know, what people forget about the Cruiserweight division, it wasn't just the Cruiserweight division in WCW, like, you know, the Ultimo Dragons, the Juventud Guerreros, the Rey Mysterios. It wasn't just WCW's Cruiserweight division that made it so great. Was a good amount of people on the WCW roster, they knew how to work that lucha style. And when Sin Cara came in, there really wasn't that many people in the WWE roster that could work that style. I mean, just a handful of people, like Christian, Evan Bourne, Kofi Kingston, not that many. You know, there's not many people that can work that style. So, like, what's Sin Cara going to do? Rey Mysterio, he's had years of experience because he was in ECW, he was in WCW, and he was in WWE. And because he's been in so many promotions, Rey Mysterio has mastered the craft of being able to work with guys of different sizes. Ordinarily, if a guy the size of Rey Mysterio worked against someone like the Big Show, you'd be like, what the crap is this? But Rey Mysterio, only he can do it in a believable fashion because he's had so much practice. Sin Cara did not have that. Add that plus to not being able to deprogram himself and, you know, WWE not really having a division to support him. Sin Cara was just, he was a flop from day one. I remember when they first signed him, I knew he was going to be a flop, and I kept telling people he was going to be a flop, and people were like, oh, come on, so give it a chance, give it a chance. I'm like, no, if this dude lasts a year, I will be shocked. And he did last a year, but 6 months in, he was already done. So, yeah.
Well, speaking of Cara, it looks like there's some talk of teaming him up with Evan Bourne when Bourne comes back. But here's my thing, and I don't know if you saw it. Did you see the pic of Evan Bourne from maybe a week to 2 weeks ago?
Yeah, I'm not surprised.
Of him all jacked up and, you know.
Yeah, it makes perfect sense.
Yeah,
he couldn't work out his legs, so he worked out his arms.
Yeah,
you know, it's a very common training tactic, and not just wrestling, but in sports in general. If you can't work out your arms, work out your legs. It's like a lot of people in wheelchairs have phenomenal upper body strength because they can't fit their legs anymore. So I imagine that's what he's been doing the entire time.
Right. I'm just worried about now with Bourne, with all the extra bulk and muscle, if that's going to take away from his style now.
And
now
we just have to see.
Yeah, now you're going to team him with Kara, as they're talking about, and, you know, whereas this would have been a great high-flying tag team, but if Evan Bourne's up to 225 or 215, whatever, and he's rock solid and he can't fly around, does that kind of take away a little from what that team could be?
Well, he needs to be in NXT, and he needs to kind of rediscover his craft, get that ring rust out for a bit, and send him over to SmackDown. No idea what Evan can do. What was he doing before he injured? He was teaming with Kofi, right?
Him and Kofi were tag champs, and then he got suspended, and then he got injured. He got injured while he was suspended, and it was like his second suspension. Like, he got suspended, came back. They were still tag champs while he was suspended, and then, like, 2 weeks after he came back, he got suspended again. It was like,
so he has two strikes.
Really? Yeah, he's a two-strike guy.
Wow, Evan Bourne with two strikes. Wow.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow, he needs to be
right
careful, Dan.
Yep.
Wow,
he's
so
a,
one more and he's
two-strike
done?
Two-strike guy. Yes.
Wow, he needs to be careful,
yep.
Dan. I like Bourne. Okay,
yeah.
Well, you know, hopefully they'll figure something out for him because, you know, he's a good talent.
Yeah, so, yeah, talk of him and Sincara teaming together. But we were going with Sammy Del Sol into Sincara. You obviously know Bennett. You know, Bennett
yeah.
will probably be the most natural fit of the bunch. He's got the look. I don't know what you've seen of him. I saw him live at an FWE show, and he's got the look. He's got the in-ring ability, and on the stick, he is quietly very, very good.
Hopefully Maria comes with him, though, because I hope
but
it's a full package
easiest,
deal.
It's the easiest way to debut him. It's
yeah.
the easiest way. You have her come back for like 2-3 weeks talking about how she met this amazing guy. You debut Bennett that way. Then you have Bennett keep the character and basically be a douchebag to everyone when Maria's not around. And then, you know, they'll play the obvious, well, oh, she must not know. And then when Bennett's being a douchebag to a face diva, you have Maria do the turn, and there you go. There's your couple, Bennett and Maria. I think it's very simple, and it's easy enough to do.
Okay. Yeah, that worked just fine.
Yeah. Yeah, you know. Another couple of things. Looks like Christian will be back post-Extreme Rules. Finally. Looks like we've been waiting for that forever.
How long do we have to wait for this? You know how long I've been waiting for Christian? I refuse to watch SmackDown without my captain of charisma. Can we please get one more match for the World Heavyweight Championship?
Yep. I thought he would have been a perfect replacement for Ziggler at Extreme Rules. Since you're going to, you know, if you were going to go to the number one contender shot anyway, have, you know, you could have had Long be like, listen, you know, we're going to take you out of the match stuff, which, by the way, WWE is handling his concussion perfectly. They're not rushing him back. They're not putting him on the road. And they're not going to punish him by stripping him of the title. I think that is an amazing job by WWE just for that, you know. They realize it wasn't his fault, and that's good, but that's a separate thing. Why not have Teddy Long be like, okay, we're going to have Jack Swagger, we're going to have Del Rio, and we're going to have another former World Heavyweight Champion in the match. And right there, that would have been your perfect opportunity right there, because Christian beat Del Rio at Extreme Rules 2 years ago in 2011 for the title, for the World Heavyweight title. And then Christian at Backlash 09, that's when he beat Jack Swagger for the ECW
yeah.
title.
Yeah,
so
it was good chemistry with both.
Right there with all three guys, yeah. And
yeah.
there's history.
They would be a great match. All three of them have great chemistry, and it would be a good ladder match. Because I remember going in before Ziggler's concussion, I was like, it's going to be weird seeing a ladder match without Christian, you know what I mean? And then, you know,
yep.
Ziggler got the concussion, and so they've dropped it. So, you know, maybe, you know, I was thinking maybe if Ziggler goes over and maybe Christian comes back, maybe Christian and Ziggler can have a ladder match. But then I realized, well, Money in the Bank pay-per-view is going to be in July, so it would be kind of weird to have a ladder match with Money in the Bank so close. So, unfortunately, we probably won't see a ladder match anytime soon. But, you know, Christian, please come back, man. Like, where are you, dude, man? You're like the
yep.
only reason I care about the WWE product. Just come back and just save us. Jeez.
Well, you're probably getting your wish sooner rather than later. Yeah, we got Christian coming back, and NXT's got some news, as it looks like they are reforming the Ascension. It looks like Conor O'Brien's going to finally get a new partner, and if you give me a second, I will get you his name. Were you following NXT at all? And
yeah, I know who the Ascension are. They're like Glacier on
okay,
steroids.
Okay, good. Yeah, I thought it was a great gimmick. They were on the cusp, and then Kenneth Cameron went out and got arrested for, like, domestic abuse. And
yeah.
It was just like, you know, really, really, guy? Because they were literally on the verge of being called up. They were right there, and then he was an idiot. But I'm just trying to get the name of Conor O'Brien's new partner. Toph, where you are, do you get NXT or...
I can watch it if I have to. I don't really – I only watch it if it's a really good episode, but I have a source of where I can go to watch it. I haven't watched it in a very long time because the thing about NXT that's kind of confusing, it's like they don't really do a good job with the transition of it. Like, WWE, they acknowledge that it's, like, the developmental territory, but they need to be really careful with, like, how they do it. Like, the last episode I watched, it was so confusing. It was like, the Raw after Big E Langston debuted and took out Cena, and then Big E Langston, he had a title match against Seth Rollins, and it was weird because when he debuted on Raw, he debuted as a heel, but on NXT, he was a babyface, and Seth Rollins was, like, at one point, he was a babyface, but he was a heel now. You know what I mean? It was weird. And so when Big E Langston showed up, he was getting pops, and I was like, what's going on? And then someone had to inform me that in NXT, Big E Langston had this 5-count gimmick, and I was like, oh, okay. You know, so it's kind of confusing. They need to kind of do a better job with the transaction of how they leave and how they show up and whatever. But, you know, in NXT is okay. I don't watch it like that, but I know where I could watch it if I wanted to.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, NXT, the problem with NXT is, especially when they brought Rollins up and they brought Langston up, is they tape about 4 or 5 weeks in one shot, and they usually tape about a month in advance. So odds are the show you saw, because Langston debuted in December. I'm guessing you saw that show either late December, early January.
Yeah. I think it was December, so I think.
That's the problem, is that they tape these shows so far back down, and it's like, all right, where, you know, why is he a heel on Raw, but he's a monster face here on SmackDown? The one thing that's a little confusing to me, I'll be honest with you, is the fact that Langston has still not dropped the title. Like, Rollins got called up to the main roster, and the next taping, that belt is gone off him.
Yeah.
You know, and especially, I could understand initially not sure what you were going to do with Langston, but now that it looks like he's going to stick around, he's wrestling more, there's even rumors of him somehow getting into a match with Mark Henry at SummerSlam, which would be interesting. I'm surprised he's still walking around with the NXT strap, especially when you got guys like Bray Wyatt, Cassius Ohno, you know, Corey Graves, Leo Kruger. There's a number of guys who could, you know, take that belt, although I guess maybe the reason why Wyatt doesn't have it yet is because he's probably headed main roster sooner rather than later.
Mm-hmm.
The report today about possibly the Langston face turn against Henry. Do you see that as something that could work, or are we looking at another botched WrestleMania thing with Henry, where you would think Henry's going to put Ryback over, like, or put Langston over like he was going to Ryback, and then somehow they totally screwed up and Henry's going to go over Langston?
Well, my friend told me that Langston was over with this little 5-count gimmick. And I understood the gimmick. I just thought it was dumb, and I don't really see how it got him over. But hey, the NXT crowd liked it, so you know, I guess the kids could like him. One thing I will give Langston is, I don't know if you follow him on Twitter. He actually has a great sense of humor. He's very funny. Yeah. He acknowledges the IWC, and he acknowledges memes. Like when he first debuted, there's this meme where it had a picture of Taz, and you know where Taz always said, "Here comes the pain," and Taz put, like, "Here comes Black Lesnar," or something like that. and Big E Langston, he, like, tweeted the pic on Twitter, and he said that he would rather be known as the next Ice Train, you know, from WCW.
Nice.
And I was like, yeah, that's so funny. And when they were doing their build up to WrestleMania, if you went on WWE Fan Nation, they had this little thing with AJ Lee. It was like called AJ Lee's Diary or whatever. And you know, they were talking like all the places she went to. And there's this one clip where it was her, Ziggler, and Big E, and they were like going to this ice cream shop, and it was like, they were walking to the shop, and AJ was saying what kind of ice cream she was going to buy. And then when they got there, AJ was like, okay, go pay, Big E. And Big E was like, I'm not paying. And then it just got into an argument, and it was just really funny. So Big E, he actually does have a funny side to himself, but it seems like they don't want him to show that yet. So, you know, now I'm second-guessing myself. Maybe it could work, but only if he acts silly. So, yeah, I think it could work, but I'm pretty sure inevitably he'll probably turn on Ziggler or – you know, maybe he'll indirectly call Ziggler a match or something like that, because, you know, that's usually how it is. It happened with Brian Kendrick and Ezekiel Jackson, and it happened with Christian and Tomko. It happened with HBK and Diesel. You know, eventually the bodyguard always, you know, goes out on his own. So, you know, it'll come eventually, you know, probably by the end of the summer, more than likely.
Yeah, there's another guy who fell into obscurity, Ezekiel Jackson. I mean,
does he still have a job?
Yeah, he hasn't been released. Apparently, the last I heard, and this was before the turn of the year, was they were having issues with his visa, I guess, from Guyana. And, you know, that was the last I ever heard of him.
Wow.
You know, apparently, it's not just TNA that has issues with work visas and stuff.
Yeah, I know they have big plans for him because, you know, they had him win the ECW title on the last night, and they were going to push him to SmackDown and give him this big push,
mm-hmm.
but it just didn't work out. So.
Yeah, then he was in the core, and then he actually beat Barrett for the IC title and then lost the title to Rhodes, and that was it.
Yeah.
He actually, poor Zeke, wasn't the only guy. It's a shame. You look back at that Capital Carnage card, and you look at the guys who were put over, and, you know, Zeke was one of them.
That was a bad pay-per-view.
Riley was another one.
Yeah.
Those guys are now.
Yeah, I vividly remember how horrible that's the crazy thing, though. That right there, it sums up WWE in a nutshell, because as bad as that pay-per-view was, and that was like one of the worst WWE pay-per-views in years, as bad as that pay-per-view was, you would forget the very next one was that epic Money in the Bank. That was so good, people were comparing it to WrestleMania 17. How could you have such a great pay-per-view next to such a horrible one? That right there sums up WWE in a nutshell. That tells you that when they really want to, they can put on a great product to make fans care like it's 1997 again. But most of the time, they just don't. So,
you know what that card, though, gets a bum rap for? And I'll agree with you. It is brutal. But if you really look at what the card was, it was different. You had Christian Orton. You had Alex Riley Miz. You had Ezekiel Jackson Wade Barrett. You had Cena R-Truth. It wasn't the same guys just basically being rotated in all the same slots. So to their credit, even though I agree with you, the card, the way the pay-per-view came off was terrible, they did try to do something different than what they were doing normally. You know, we could have, how many times would we have gotten another Cena Miz match on that show, you know, with another stupid stipulation, you know, or, you know, Barrett Big Show, or, you know, anything like that, you know. So I do give them for trying something new, although the R-Truth heel turn at that point was just brutal. It didn't pick up until he paired up with Miz, but that's R-Truth will
never be a main eventer because he's held back by the PG rating. I've said that from day one. And to the fans that disagree with me, look at his work as K-Crush in TNA, and you will clearly see a difference. Because you know, that's my thing against the PG rating. Like, I don't want to be one of those fans that, you know, bash the PG rating. There are some guys in the roster that are literally held back by the PG rating, and R-Truth was one of them. And even though I don't like Randy Orton is another one of those guys. Because as a baby face, like, this is, even as a heel, like, this is Randy Orton's limit. And their PG rating, he can't get any worse than this. Because as a heel, you know, TV-14, he can say controversial stuff, and he can do controversial stuff. There are some people on the roster that are held back by that PG rating, and R-Truth is one of them. So until that PG rating changes, which will probably be never, R-Truth's never winning the world title. But that's fine because he's one of Vince's favorites. He's had a great career. He's been all over the world. He still makes six figures, and he's doing just fine. He makes a lot of public appearances for WWE, so I'm not that mad about it. But the point is, though.
I still stand by my guns. If he didn't get suspended for Survivor, right around Survivor Series, I think him and Miz were gonna win that tag match against Rock and Cena.
You think Rock would have rock bottomed Cena anyway, regardless?
Yeah. You would have still had the same ending, which would have been fine. The last 5 minutes of that pay per view would have been the same. But as far as where Miz and Truth were headed, the win would have been phenomenal for them. The loss would have done nothing to Rock and Cena, but the win for them, because then they would have probably been booked for the tag titles and you know,
that
all
probably
that
would have changed
where
the card
headed.
At Mania.
Yeah, you know, and then you would have had that Miz Truth breakup probably for, you know, to have that match at WrestleMania. It could have been a lot more than what it ended up being, you know.
Yeah.
So I've said that, and you know, I've said that numerous times on Jay's show, on this show, that I really believe if he didn't get suspended, they were gonna. It would have been just a fluke mishap between Rock and Cena. You know, Miz rolls up Cena. You know, and then they scurry out of the ring, jumping up and down, and then you still would have had the antics with Rock and Cena at the end, and Rock's music playing, and that would have been the last thing you saw. But I really think that could have worked out different for them had he not gotten suspended.
Yeah.
We got about 7 minutes left. A couple of great articles today on WWE.com. I don't know if you saw any of them, both involving Paul Heyman. The first one is, and WWE is actually playing this up, that they're recording it, that Heyman is looking for a third superstar to manage. I'm going with, obviously, Punk's not going to be around for a while, and Lesnar's probably going to finish up on Sunday for a while, so they want to keep Heyman on TV. I know who I think would be the perfect guy for him. I just want to see. Did you see the article today?
Yeah, I did.
If you had to put one guy with Heyman to carry him over for the spring, early summer, who would you go with?
Sounds like a perfect excuse for one more match.
Okay.
I'm joking. See, that's what my fanboy in this one. No, probably like Wade Barrett or The Miz or somebody. Probably Wade Barrett. I don't even like Wade Barrett, but Wade Barrett would benefit from him.
Okay, I was actually going to go Antonio Cesaro. I think this would be, if there's a guy who could jumpstart Cesaro, and I don't think Cesaro's as doomed as everyone thinks he is. I've written an article on this on the website. All I got to say about Antonio Cesaro is everyone forgets King Sheamus. I'll leave it at that. But I think Cesaro, yeah, I think Heyman could be a great guy for him. For that, you know, be a nice mouthpiece for Cesaro and get him tracking again. So
maybe Heyman can make him the next Rhino.
Yeah, you know, and you know what? I mean, I still stand by the belief that Punk is going to come back as a face, even if it's not initially. I think the whole point is Punk as a face against Heyman and a couple of Heyman guys. So if we're talking later this summer, early fall, and Cesaro with Heyman has to be a guy that Punk has to get through in order to get to the big match with Lesnar, which another report came out today that said Punk is interested in doing it. I actually, on my first SummerSlam preview card that I wrote before WrestleMania on the site, I actually have Punk Lesnar as my main event. But, you know, I could see Punk having to get through Cesaro to get to Lesnar would work.
Yeah, I think a lot of people have just forgotten how versatile Brock Lesnar is. I'm seeing a lot of fans dismissing the idea of Lesnar fighting small guys like Daniel Bryan and CM Punk. And I'm like, did you forget all the matches he had with Chris Benoit and Eddie Guerrero and Kurt Angle before he got, like, you know, as big as he was? You know, Lesnar can work with small guys. And, you know, sometimes raw power versus tactician, you know, submission guys are really good matches. I think it would be, you know, a great match. I just think fans just need to give it a chance before they dismiss it.
Yeah, the Angle-Lesnar matches in the summer of 03 are very, very forgotten and not given enough credit for how good they were. That one-hour Iron Man match on SmackDown is phenomenal. And
oh, man, that's the thought alone just makes me depressed, dude. Great TV for SmackDown. Wow.
Yeah, I mean, WrestleMania 19 is known for the botched moonsault, but I mean the botched 450 splash. But if you watch everything else leading up to that, that's a great match between the two of them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. The other article today was what would have happened if ECW never died, and
Ring of Honor would never exist.
That was actually said in the article on WWE.com. No, you laugh. It has comments from Paul Heyman, Joey Styles, Tommy Dreamer, Jerry Lynn, and Steve Corino. So it's funny you mentioned ROH, but ROH is mentioned in there.
Yeah.
Apparently, and I never knew this, apparently USA and Heyman were in talks at the recommendation of Vince, of all people, because Vince had just gone to TNN, and Vince actually said you guys should talk to him. And at the end of the day, they decided, USA decided to go in a different way, but I never knew that he was close to a deal with USA, and apparently the payoff angle was going to be RVD finally winning the ECW title from Rhino at a show in Detroit, Michigan, 6 months after they would have gotten the TV deal.
Yeah,
RVD
I believe
being
that.
A Battle Creek, Michigan guy, and, you know, Rhino being a Detroit, Michigan guy. So it's a good read. If you haven't checked it out already, it's very informative. Heyman's completely out of character, you know. So it's definitely a good read if you haven't checked it out. The fact that they got Steve Corino on there and Jerry Lynn is interesting as well. So definitely, if you haven't checked it out, definitely give it a read. We got about 2.5 minutes left. So, Toph, if you got anything else you want to...
We're doing an Extreme Rules post show, right?
Yes, that's Sunday night, yeah. I believe posting that.
All right, I'll try to show up for that. I'm not really looking forward to the pay-per-view, really. I might have to get drunk to watch, to be honest. So.
I think it's going to be a big night for the Shield. I can see them definitely sweeping. I can see Ambrose definitely beating Kingston, which I think at that point the internet may explode. definitely see Rollins and Reigns beating Kane and Bryan. And I actually think we're looking at Lesnar and Ryback winning.
Oh, you think Ryback's going to win?
I do. Okay. I thought that from the start, that I could see Ryback. I think this is a longevity feud. I think this is going to carry Cena pretty much in SummerSlam. I think you're going to see a lot of back and forth with it. So,
okay.
Yep. We're at about 90 seconds left. Anything else?
Don't forget to check out the X Division match tomorrow. It's going to be Chris Sabin, Kenny King, and Petey Williams. Should be a great match. I haven't read the spoilers, so I don't know who's going to win. But it's great to see that they're finally doing something with the X Division, because Kenny King and Chris Sabin actually had a good promo, and it was like the first X Division promo in it's been a while. So, yeah, looking forward to that.
Nice. Yeah. King's work's been good, and since he came back, and Sabin's really motivated, and Williams, I caught him at FWE in February, and he's looked good since he's been back. Speaking of FWE, in Queens, New York, June 21st, the newest match announced today, Tommy Dreamer against RVD. So that's a great card, headlined
nice.
By Carlito. Carlito defending the FWE heavyweight title against Star Morrison. I think Petey Williams against Brian Kendrick. Paul London, Jay Lethal got pulled, but there. Paul London, Jimmy Yang. There's a 30-man Royal Rumble for a title shot. It's just, FWE, it's a great, I saw their last show live, it was phenomenal. With 10 seconds to left, this is JCD, it's Hope. Thanks for listening, check us out on iTunes, blogtalkradio.com, and Stitcher. Have a good night.